It's good to see us here this evening to be able to worship God together again on this day, on the Lord's Day. And tonight we're going to look at the book of 1 John in particular. 1 John beginning in chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." The idea of sin, of course, is a problem that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and the Garden of Eden. And one of the greatest opportunities that we as Christians have and privilege that we have is to be able to be forgiven of our sin every day we live. God has promised that He would. But before the coming of Christ and coming of Christ into the world, our sins could not have been forgiven in the same way. All through the Old Testament, even though they offered animal sacrifices and blood sacrifices, that technically did not fully forgive their sin until Christ came and died on the cross. And Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that in verse 15, the Bible says, "His blood which He shed covered the sin of those who were faithful under the previous covenants." And so there could not be true peace with God until Christ came. But the coming of Christ, of course, that through faith we have the ability and obedience to the gospel of Christ to be forgiven completely. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says there, "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." We are justified. We are acquitted of the guilt of our sin by the blood which Jesus shed for us because of our faith, which motivates us to an action. What is the action that the faith motivates? Well, it is repentance, for example. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible says there, the Apostle Peter speaking, he says, "Repent ye therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." Unless we truly repent of our sins, God's not going to forgive us. But repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of action and a change of life. And that's what repentance is. And so if we have faith and repentance as part of that, that leads us then to the idea of confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus said, "If you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father who is in heaven." The confession is a confession that Jesus Christ is in fact our Lord and our Savior, and that we're going to take him as our guide, and we're going to be His follower for the rest of our lives. So confession is something we make not only then, but then from that day forward, every day we live is a confession of Christ by our actions, by our words, by our teaching, and everything else. And then, of course, we have to submit to baptism because it is commanded for us to do so. That's why in Acts chapter 2, and on the day of Pentecost, he asked Peter, "What shall we do? We have crucified the Son of God. How can we relieve the guilt of that sin from us?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, after baptism, we are free to call upon the Lord to forgive us every day we live because we are His children. We're no longer outside of Christ, but we are in Christ. God puts us there. According to Acts 2 and verse 47, He adds us to the church, to His body. And when it is done, then we have access to God every day we live because we are God's children. We are part of His family. In Romans 8 and verse 16, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him." We can be glorified with God through with Christ and in Christ for all of eternity, if we'll believe and to obey Him. In 1 John 1, verse 9, as we read a few moments ago, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous," or just, "to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, a few days ago, I had a discussion with a young man on this particular subject, and I already had this lesson done, so it didn't necessarily add anything to it, but he was taught wherever he went to church that once you come into Christ, once you are saved, your sins are forever forgiven, and you cannot sin from that day forward. Well, the problem with that is the Bible doesn't teach that. He was being taught that by someone, but it's not true. We can sin even after we come into Christ. Now, we can be forgiven, and that's what I tried to point out to him. But here, he says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous," or just, "to forgive our sins." If we're in Christ, that's what we need to do, to admit, to stand up for the sins we have committed. So we look at this verse, chapter 1, verse 9 of 1 John. And we're going to take it little by little and then talk about what it means. He says there in 1 John 1, 9, he starts with the word "if." Or it's "if," that means there's something that has to follow that. And it places condition on the circumstances upon which we are forgiven. And so if you look back through the Bible, you'll find that very seldom does God ever make a promise to people that is not conditional upon obedient faith and obedience to His will. There's a couple of exceptions. For example, after the flood in the days of Noah, God made a promise to all mankind they would not again destroy the earth with a flood. And He didn't. And the rainbow was His symbol that was for us to remember that. And so we have to understand, if we're faithful to God, we in our life have a responsibility to believe and to obey Him and continue to do so. God never makes an unconditional promise where faith and obedience are concerned, that once we're saved, we're always saved, and we cannot be lost after that, which some people teach. In 1 John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you." Notice he did not say, "If you believe in me, you'll be all right." He says, "If you do the things I command you, you are my friends," and you will continue in that condition. So he says then, "If we," well, to whom was he writing? He was writing to Christians in general, not any specific person or church somewhere, as some of the other writings of the New Testament are. But he was writing to the entire body of Christ, all who by that time in the first century had believed in and obeyed the gospel of Christ, and they were part of the body of Christ. And so that eliminates in this promise those who are not in Christ. So we have to be in Christ to be forgiven of your sins. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Forgiveness of sin is a spiritual blessing. So that's the only way we receive it. It does not take care of those who claim not to sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." The truth of God cannot be in us if we claim that we cannot sin, even after we believe in Christ and obey His will. It does not mention those who walk in darkness. If we obey the gospel of Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life, and we go back to walking in darkness, in sin, and don't repent of it, we're going to be lost. So it covers those who do not keep His commandments, as 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us. Those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. 1 John 2 and verse 22. If we deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, then His blood is not going to forgive our sins anymore. Those who love the world more than Christ, or love the world more than God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And those who continue to live in a condition of sin and will not acknowledge it and repent from it, those are going to be lost, because the blood of Christ is not going to cover those who are not willing to come back and repent. So He says, then if we confess. Well, here confession is a little bit different from confessing Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is confessing the fact that we are sinners, that we have turned away from God, maybe just a step here and there. And we all do that. We all fall short. We all sin. So we all are in need of forgiveness. But the Greek word there for confession there means to agree, to confess, to acknowledge, and also to promise. In other words, promise that I'm not going to do this again. I'll try not to the best of my ability. Even though we know we're going to sin again, God is willing to forgive. But the confession in this verse is the acknowledgement of our wrong and our sinful condition. It means that we don't try to get away from sin. We don't try to blame our sin on someone else. That we acknowledge that it is our sin that is against God. We have to confess that. And the Greek word also literally means to speak together, to say the same thing when we confess. The prefix there, con, means to do something with someone else. So we confess it to others. And in the case of our sin, depending on what kind of sin it is, to God the Father in prayer, or to others if we sinned against others in this life. And so there's also an idea of this word. It has to be a dialogue between God and us. God gives us His message and His word. We accept it. We believe it. And we pray, and God hears our prayer, and He forgives our sins. But what kind of confession is required? Well, if it's a public sin, then a public confession is necessary or needed. And if it's a private sin, a private confession to God through prayer. Public sins usually are those who would bring a reproach upon us, ourselves, our family, the church, whatever it might be, that we need to acknowledge to someone else individually or collectively as God's people. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus tells us we have something against someone else. Go to that person and work that out. And if we do so and they accept it, we have gained a brother. And so that's what we're to do. But private sins, of course, are ones that maybe only we and God know about it. But God is willing to forgive. And 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, he says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Himself, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the mediator. That's why we pray in the name or by the power of Christ. Through Him, He is our mediator. He mediates between us and God and between God and us. And He will forgive our sins if we pray and ask for it. Sometimes they're public sins. And like I said, sometimes we need to go up to another person. Maybe we've sinned against them in some way. Or if they've sinned against us, we're told to go to them and work it out. So that we can be right with God. We cannot bind one way or another on others. We have to do what God says each day. God expects of us to have a willing heart, to admit that we have sinned. Again, not trying to excuse ourselves or place it on someone else, but to serve God. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, confess therefore your faults one to another and pray one for another. So sometimes we need to confess our sins, our faults to others, and pray together for our forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Self-deception is the worst kind of deception, because we cannot bring ourselves to admit that we are in the wrong. So he says, if we confess our sins, well, what are sins? You know, we hear that word passed around sometime. And What does it really mean? Well, it means we confess all of our sins. Now, that doesn't mean every individual sin we commit, we have to remember that and confess it to God or He won't forgive. But an attitude of penitence because we have sinned. That's the idea. We can't maybe remember everything we've done wrong, but God knows, and if we ask for forgiveness, He will give it. In Psalms 19 and verse 12, King David said, "Clear thou me from hidden faults." In other words, God, forgive me from these faults that I have that I may not remember, but I know I have done wrong. But what is sin according to the Bible? According to the New Testament, there's three or four different things that constitute sin. 1 John 5:17 says, "All unrighteousness is sin." Now, that covers a lot of things, a lot of different areas. It may be thought, it may be speech, it may be things that are not right with God. And that's what basically unrighteousness means. 1 John 3:4 says, "Sin is lawlessness or transgression." Well, that means a transgression means we go beyond the boundaries that God has set for us. And when we do that, we sin. We fall short of His glory. We go beyond His boundaries, and we have to ask for forgiveness. James chapter 4, verse 17 presents a different idea about sin. And here he says, "To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So sin is not just something we do that's wrong. Sin is also something that we don't do that is right. And so both of those, it kind of gets us from both directions, you might say. But each time we're to ask for forgiveness. Whether we neglect to do what we should do and we sin in that way, or we actually do something wrong. And God is equally willing to forgive if we're willing to follow Him. And Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, faith in this particular context has to do with a conviction that something is right or wrong. And the idea from Romans chapter 14 is that sometimes we may be in a position where something may not be wrong in and of itself, but if we doubt from our conscience that it is, we're to stay away from it. That's the idea in Romans chapter 14. So it may not necessarily be wrong in and of itself, but in our mind it would be wrong to do that. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 about eating meat sacrificed to an idol. He says the idol is nothing. And so even if it's sacrificed to idols, you eat of that meat, it's just meat. It's good for your health and for satisfying our needs in life. But he says, if someone says, "Well, that meat is sacrificed to an idol," he explains it's better not to eat of that than to cause someone else whose conscience is not right with God to fall into sin. And so that's the context of Romans 14, 23. So we see all these different kinds of sins we need to be willing to confess to God. We're told to confess our sins in order that we may receive the forgiveness from God Himself through Christ. Our attitude should always be a willingness to admit our sinful condition. In fact, the entire book of 1 John reveals over and over again the love of God and His willingness to forgive and to bear with us when we don't live up to what we ought to be. God has a right as God to send us to hell for all of eternity for any reason because He is God. But He's loving and merciful. Yes, He is a God of justice that requires us to believe Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, and ask for forgiveness. And His justice demands that. His justice demanded the blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for our sins on the cross. That's how much God is righteous and just. But He's also kind and loving and forgiving. Because He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful or just and righteous to forgive our sins. Sometimes we can have a fullness of faith by our actions and our service to God, and God is pleased with that. And then Not too long after that, we fall into sin again. And we're able to do that, but God can be trusted. God does not change. He is faithful and just and righteous to forgive our sins. And it's one in whom we can trust and completely rely. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Hebrew writer says there, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, therefore, let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, we look to Jesus, and that's what keeps us on the right path all the way. Yes, we'll fall sometimes and we'll sin, but he's going to be able to be there to forgive. He is also faithful in that he will fulfill his promises. If you go back to Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham, he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And this great nation, there'll be so many people they can't even be counted. And ultimately, through your seed, your descendant, which is Jesus, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, through your descendant, through Christ, your seed, all the world is going to be blessed. And it was. So God fulfilled that plan. It took 2,000 years for the Christ to come, but God fulfilled it. In other words, he is righteous and just, and he will be one who we can rely upon completely. When God says it, it will be done. Maybe not in the way that we think or the time period that we think, but God will take care of it. So he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous or just to forgive our sins. Now, what is forgiveness? Well, the word forgiveness comes from a word meaning to send away, to let go or to release, to remit. In other words, get rid of it. And you go back to the Old Testament when God, in the book of Exodus, began the Day of Atonement. And the high priest was to bring, they were to bring two goats to him to lay his hands on the head of one to send it off into the wilderness. And he was to kill the other one and take the blood in the most holy place of the temple and there to sprinkle it around the Ark of the Covenant at the mercy seat. And their sins would be forgiven completely for another year. Well, that's the idea. The goat that the high priest laid his hands upon and then sent him off, that was symbolic of the remission, the forgiveness of sin. It was sent off into the wilderness and would not come back. The same word is the word that Peter used on the day of Pentecost when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's the sending away. It's not going to come back unless we sin and continue to do so. So how does this forgiveness come to you and me? Well, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It comes because of God's grace and mercy through Christ that is given to you and me. There's no greater love that gives to us than the grace and mercy and forgiveness that God offers to us every day we live. So how that grace come to us? Well, it's through the blood of Christ. And 1 John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That particular term, cleanses, there is in the original Greek language, is in a present tense. It means it's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop when we obey the gospel and baptism. It doesn't stop if we pray one time and ask for forgiveness. It's an ongoing thing every day we live. As long as we walk in his light, he forgives us every day. But he wants us to ask for forgiveness also, to understand that God is merciful and wants us to be forgiven. We have to walk in the light of Jesus Christ every day. And when we obey what he has commanded, then we have the total forgiveness of all of our sins. That's why the Bible tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that Jesus gave His life. God placed on Him the iniquity, the sins of us all. And when He did that, it says that we can be the righteousness of God in Him. We're not righteous of ourselves, but through Christ we can be that. So He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous or just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing comes because of the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's what God required for the forgiveness of our sins. And so when Jesus came to the cross and shed His life's blood, that paid the sacrificial price for our sin for all time. So we simply have to believe Him and to obey Him. And the cleansing, again, is not just a one-time thing. Every day we live, if we're in Christ, we have that promise. It was necessary for Jesus to die only one time. All through the Old Testament, they had to offer animal sacrifices practically every day, every week, every month, whatever it might have been, particular under some particular law. But they were to continue to do that. Jesus only was necessary one time. And if we confess our sins, He will forgive because of the blood that He shed for us. Now, if we are in Christ and we have the opportunity to pray, and God will forgive. If we obey Him and continue to do so, the blood of Christ will cover our sins every day. We don't have to go to bed at night with our fingers crossed, hoping that we've confessed all of our sins, that we can remember, even though we can't remember some of them, and hope that God will somehow be merciful to us. That's not what God teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. It means that if we're trying to be faithful to God by His grace, He will forgive every day we live as we walk in the light. And God will forgive. Even when our heart is not right, He calls us back to Himself. It says if we say that we don't sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, if we sin and we say that we don't sin, we make Him a liar, and the truth is not in us there. So we have to be willing to own up to what we have done, ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive. Now tonight, if there's a need in your life to come back to the Lord or whatever it may be, if you need to come tonight, won't you do so as together we stand as we sing.